his friends, some of his comrades, and some of the people that he met, some of the events that he went through. But my dad didn't talk a whole lot about it, shared briefly to us at home some of the things that he had went through while in the Army. But then I guess it would be the Memorial Day of 2013, it was different because my dad passed away in 2012. And so now it's a memory of mine, because one thing that was special happened, I have it in my office, is that the family gave me the color of honor for my dad and given me the United States flag that was folded at his gravesite. And so that's a very special time for me. So tomorrow, we're going to kind of practice tomorrow today. We're going to take a first half to just remember. Remember those who have either fallen in battle or have served this country in the military that have gone on before us. So the way I want to do that today is that I want to ask everybody to stand, and we're going to take a moment of silence to remember the ones that we have and remember the cost that they gave for their life to serve our country. So if you would please join me in a thanks of silence to God. Thank you, God. Now, I would like for everyone here who have served our country in the military to remain standing and everybody else to sit down. Okay, let's thank God for these brothers. Now, this is a little bit different right now. I want you to take the time. You do not have to move. If it's kind of awkward for you to move, or it's too hard to get to point A to point B in some circumstances, please feel free to stay at your seat. But I'd like you to approach these brothers that are here this morning. Either give them a salute, give them a handshake, give them a high five, just give them a thank you. So at this moment, would you please go and meet with them and express your thanks. All right, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our Kingdom kids up to the upstairs room. And then our brother Scott, I believe, is down to read, or somebody's down to read Deuteronomy chapter 20. Yeah, you can make your way this way. Do you want a microphone, Scott, or do you want a... Oh, really? Okay. Well, I've already got it marked here if you want to go ahead and do it. Be Deuteronomy chapter 20. Yes. Verses 1 through 10. Yeah. You got it? Okay.
Okay. Okay, now Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 10, which I was practicing on Deuteronomy 10. Okay. When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you're about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, "Hear, O Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemy. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before you. For the Lord your God is one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. The officers shall say to you," to the army, "Has anyone built a new house and not dedicated it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle, and someone else may dedicate it. Has someone planted a vineyard and not begun to enjoy it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle, and someone else enjoy it. Has anyone become pledged to a woman and not married her? Let him go home, or he may die in battle, and someone else marry her." Then the officers shall add, "Is any man afraid or faint-hearted? Let him go home, so that his brothers will not become disheartened too." When the officers have finished speaking to the army, they shall appoint the commanders over them. When you march up to attack a city, make its people an offer of peace.
Thank you. All right. I believe what we see in this passage, and kind of in remembering the people who serve our country in the military, is that we kind of have a certain expectation that when they enlist into either the Army or the Air Force or whatever unit that they become a part of, that there's going to be training involved, that they're going to take it seriously. They're going to actually make a vow. They're actually going to say, "I will serve this country even if it costs me my life." And we kind of understand that. And we want people that dedicated and that devoted. But what do you expect out of God's army? Those who decide to enlist into His military. See, I think too many people think church is this. And that's what Christianity is about. You just show up, the preacher's boring, catch a nap. But it's more like this. We're in spiritual warfare. We're at war. And there's a war between good and evil. And when you decide that you want to be a part of God's army, that you want to follow Jesus, yes, He's the one that had come down here and had sacrificed His life to save you. But to advance His kingdom, we are asked to devote ourselves as being soldiers of Jesus Christ. Then, do we expect to be trained? Do we expect to be equipped? Do we expect that it's going to take discipline? Do we expect that our commanding officer is going to rebuke, correct, train, teach, in order for the advancement of the kingdom of God, it takes a good and great commander. And we have that in Jesus Christ, no doubt. But it also takes soldiers who are willing to follow their commander. And that's what's going to advance the kingdom. That's what's going to spread good news into the world. But we have to realize that sometimes, and I think we forget, we have an enemy. If we're at war, you have an enemy. And Satan's not going to back down. He's already lost, but he's too arrogant to know it. But he doesn't need to win you, and he doesn't need to win me, and he doesn't need to win the world. Jesus is the one who wants to be our leader and lead us to be with God. Now, I believe in this reading, it simply will tell us, if we'd read it and look at it closely in just three or four verses, will actually explain to me, Kevin, what does it take to be ready for battle, but what is it that happens in my life to where I can realize that I'm not battle ready? And so I just want you to ask the question for yourself this morning. Are you kingdom battle ready? Are you spiritually battle ready? The Christ follower needs to understand that we are at spiritual warfare. The Christ follower needs to understand that we're facing an enemy that is incredibly deceptive. A Christ follower needs to understand that we have a more powerful commander in chief. A Christ follower needs to understand that when we win battles, it's because the battle belongs to our commander. And we just follow him. The Christ follower needs to understand that not being trained or equipped to advance his kingdom will render us being unfit for battle. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that when the kingdom is expressed in Scripture, I mean, the Christian walk is like discussed as like a race, and run in the race as to get the prize. But I tell you one thing, I guarantee you that my body at this point, and you'll probably say not at your age or whatever, but I'm just trying to say, there's no way I would be able to do the triathlon of being able to swim. I believe they swim a mile. I believe that they bike 126 miles and then get off their bike and run for 26 miles. I don't think my body would be able to withstand that. But we kind of understand that you would have to train for that. Well, who said amen to that? Did I hear it right? And you're right. None of us would be ready for that. But you can be spiritually ready. So, how do I know I'm not battle ready? Number one, this is your fill in the blank on the back. I'm not battle ready when I'm not fully devoted to Jesus Christ. Houses in Bible times were known by people to dedicate them for the use of the Lord. We even have we haven't done this for a while. We probably need to do it more. And hopefully we're not fearful because other groups do it. But where they dedicate babies and say, Lord, you've blessed us with this child. We will make a dedication to raise them in your name. They are going to get to know who you are because they are, we are their parents. And make a dedication. We understand that. Dedicating our home, dedicating any blessing that God gives us for his use, dedicating our own body, because we've been described like a house or a temple. And when we're not fully devoted to the teachings of our commander, then we're going to be unfit for battle. That's 20 verse 5 of Deuteronomy. Number 2, 20 verse 6. If I have not tasted the fruit of his spirit. It talks about the fruit in Deuteronomy, but what about the fruit of our spirit of God? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. On Wednesday nights, we're coming together just to try to discuss what are these qualities that the Holy Spirit will actually produce in us. Do you believe that we have a spirit given to us when we fully devote our lives to Jesus and being followers of his, that he gives us this spirit of holiness to live in us, to guide us to produce this type of qualities that makes up the fruit? Am I tasting the agape love? Am I tasting the joy even in the middle of suffering? Am I tasting peace with God? And as far as it's left up to me and to you to live in peace with others, am I tasting the fruit of patience? I don't know about you, but if you're somebody here like me that at times struggle with patience, if I allow the Holy Spirit to guide me and to train me to produce intentionally in my life the spirit of patience, I have less stress in any given day. Agree? Patience will help you stay calm. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want to invite you to come on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock just to finish up learning about these. Because these are the things that are evidence that the Holy Spirit is actually living inside you. The production of these. The working on these. The denying of self in these. And then we can be light and salt to the world. But I'm not battle ready if I don't taste that fruit. What I'll show is the lack of love. What I'll show is the lack of joy, the lack of peace, the lack of patience. And it will be displayed in my relationships. I'm not battle ready, number 3, if I'm not fulfilled, filling my vow obligations. Now it talks about the one who had promised to marry a woman needs to go ahead and marry her before he goes off. Then he's granted to go to battle. If he's made that obligation, he needs to marry her. Now we have a couple of obligations that are like vows. I think we forget this at times. A couple of them is that one, first of all, is to God. We vow to God. In our baptism, it's not only God has vowed to us, we make a vow to him. We're going to put him first. We're going to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we're going to learn how to love our neighbor as we would love ourselves. That's a vow. And we're obligated to fulfill it. And if we don't have the desire to do that and fulfill those obligations, we're not battle ready. We're just not battle ready. Satan will see it. He will know it. He will know that you're not fully devoted. He will know that you haven't tasted the fruit. And he will know that you're not keeping your vow to God. And he will work on you. And work on you to gain you back to be used by him. So our first obligation is to God, and then to others, to reconcile our relationships, to love in an agape way. And sometimes that, yes, that means carrying each other's burdens. All those one another passages are not in the Bible just to say, isn't that nice? I don't know about you, but I have to go to the cross every time I hear a one another commandment and I believe that I've made a vow to God that I'm going to live it. I mean, he commanded it. He's the commander in chief. And if I've enlisted into his spiritual military, then I need to put into practice the one another passages. One of them is carrying each other's burdens. In no way does the scripture say that I can take away their burden. It's just that you help them carry it because their burden is heavy. So if you have a burden, don't get in your mind that you just toss your burden on somebody else to deal with so that you don't have to. But it's just nicer to have a brother or a sister walk alongside you, helping you in your burden. And that's the command. And I'm not battle ready unless I'm fulfilling my obligations. And then number four, I'm not battle ready if I'm a person that is fearful and faint-hearted. Fear stifles us. Fear and faint-hearted not only dishonors God, it discourages the morales of fellow believers. Faithfulness comes from the application of the word. And in prayer, and when I apply the word and I keep on praying without ceasing, then my fear can be conquered quickly. Because God didn't give us a spirit of timidity. He gave us a spirit of power. He's overcome the world. And if he's overcome the world, he can overcome your impatience. He can overcome your lack of devotion. So, are you battle ready? We're going to have Brother Jerry read to us a scripture. Because Deuteronomy explains some of the things that, hey, you're not battle ready if you're doing this. He's going to read a passage of scripture of how we become battle ready.
Make one comment before I read, and Kevin, I apologize if I tread on your message.
I work with a young lad that's in the National Guard. He's going to be deployed probably July, August. But I asked him at work the other day, I said, modern day Army, a modern day soldier, how much does your rucksack weigh? 60 to 65 pounds. That's his vest, that's his armor plating, that's all the stuff that he has to put on. And I'm thinking, he's going to be in Kuwait or Afghanistan. The terrain is sandy and rough. And this old 73-year-old man said, wow, how can you do that? That's going to tie in with what I'm going to read.
Sure.
Get it up there where I can see it. Finally, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
There's an exercise on the back table as you're getting ready to leave, talking about how to pray for each other spiritually. I'd like for you to take one. If we run out, I'll run more copies, and you can get one either Wednesday or next Sunday. But we have to become a church that is, our prayers are for each other and up against the spiritual evil of the heavenly realms. We just got to. We need to pray for healing. We need to pray for talking about people who need comfort during time of loss. We need to keep those up. But church, what I believe that still is lacking in my prayer life and probably in yours is the lack of actually praying for each other, the Lord's people, in a very spiritual way. That we're praying that you're stepping into the battle, not being timid in the battle. And the battle is not against each other. Actually, quickly, look at the person either behind you or in front of you. If you just look at them, I've got news for you. They are not your enemy. They are not. The enemy exists only in people when we allow the enemy to be our commander-in-chief. But when we let Jesus be our commander-in-chief, that's what we should be praying for. We enlist ourselves into a kingdom army. And so here's this full armor to put on. We expected it from all of our loved ones that we just remembered and will remember tomorrow that gave their life. Without loving this country enough to be willing to die for it, they probably would never enlist. And the question is where have we lost it as churches to where when we are baptized into Christ that we take on and adopt the same vow that he had for us towards him, that we will die to ourselves and follow him and his teachings, and that we will advance, and that won't we scared? Because being scared will stifle us. We've been given a spirit of power. We can serve people. We don't have to be served. He'll give us power to not condemn people. He'll give us the strength and the courage to go save people. If we're making all the attempts in the world to go out and save people and helping each other in that, and yet numbers don't come, God's going to look down and say, you've made every effort to get my word out because of you loving me and loving them. And now it's in their hands. Now it's upon their heart. But if we sit back and just say, well, that's for somebody else to do. That's only for the elite in the church. I believe us as a body can find ways to use our gifts in a spiritual way to reach out to people and save some. And if we quit believing that, we'll keep getting older, and then you fill in the blank. There's people in our lives, church. Satan's after them. Satan wants to keep them. And he wants you back. And he's going to fight. The question is, are we willing to go to war? To love as Jesus loved. Now, let me go down quickly through these. You can fill in your blanks. The application, I'm not going to be able to slow it down. It'll take too much time. I'd like for you to pray to God in a spiritual way how you can apply this. Okay? So, number one, putting on the full armor starts with the belt. The belt is the truth. Now again, I got to be honest with you, and I got to be at least as transparent as I can be. Truth doesn't come from the church. Truth comes from Christ. Sometimes we've made the way church does things truth, when Christ is the only truth. And it's in his life and in his attitude and in his mission and his purpose of living is where you find truth. And you got to put that belt on. That's what's going to hold everything together and everything up. Satan fights with lies, and sometimes his lies sound like truth. But only believers can distinguish between the lies of Satan and the truth from God. God's truth defeats Satan's lies. Number two, the breastplate. It's about his righteousness. It's not about our self-righteousness. It's about God's righteousness. Satan attacks our hearts. The breastplate, God's righteousness, you got to put it on. Because Satan attacks our emotions. He attacks our self-worth. He attacks trust. God's righteousness is that breastplate that protects our hearts and ensures God's approval of us through Jesus Christ. He approves of us because he loves us and he sent his one and only son to die for us. And if we forget that, then we don't have nothing to advance. Number three, the foot gear, the readiness to spread the good news. I probably should end in this, but this is just going down through the way it was just kind of dealt with in Scripture. But I don't know about you, but you can put on all your clothing Now, I've tried this a few times. Put on all my clothing, but on a 95-degree afternoon, to walk down probably 20 yards from my home on sun-heated concrete barefooted to get the mail. By the time I get to the mailbox, guess what? Wisdom came to my mind. I wish I would have put my shoes on, because now I'm dreading the walk back to the house. I don't want to go through the yard because my yard's not sprayed. It's full of clother. I'm allergic to bees, and I could die on the way to the house. So I got to walk the concrete. Without shoes, I don't know about you, but one of the most tender part of my body is my feet. And without shoes, I can't go anywhere. And if we're unwilling to put on Christ's foot gear, and his foot gear means that we are preparing and readying ourselves to know how to spread good news. I mean, how many ever delivered papers either a living or a day? You guys ever deliver papers? Okay. Yeah, a few people. I always loved it because I got to go to the golf country club and they gave us free Cokes with grenadine stuff that's in it. And did all that, and you just toss papers. And then you open it up, and you're kind of looking at it and say, why is people reading this? It's hardly any good news at all. But what if you had a paper that was delivered to you that was just totally good news? I think that would sell. The deceptive of lies that Satan has brought to the world makes good news look like it's bad news. But that's a lie. But we got to be willing to go out and say, how would you like to spend your eternity in heaven with God? How would you like to do that? Satan wants us to think that telling others good news is worthless and hopeless. The size of the task is too big. There's too much negativity in this world. And the responses will be nothing but rejection, and it'll be too much for you to handle. But the foot gear of God gives us the motivation to continue to proclaim that people can find true peace that's available in Christ Jesus. And it's a news that everyone needs to hear. Everyone. No matter if they accept it or not. But it's news they need to hear. If we believe it, we share it. Number four, being battle ready means that we're willing to pick up the shield. Shield is described as our faith. What we see are Satan's attacks in the form of insults, setbacks, temptations. The shield of faith can protect us from Satan's flaming arrows. He just wants to destroy our heart. We need to be able to see beyond our circumstances and know that ultimately victory is ours, no matter how bad and gloomy it may seem. Number five, the helmet. I don't know how many people's played football in here, but I tell you one thing, one of the most important equipment pieces in playing football is a helmet. We're still having concussion trouble with all the advancement. I remember looking at pictures back when all they did is it just seems like they put a leather piece of saddle with an ear hole in it. No face mask, no nothing. I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know how in the world that even made any protection. But God's protection of his helmet. Satan wants to make sure that we doubt God, that we doubt Jesus, that we doubt salvation, And the helmet will protect our mind from doubting God's saving work in us. He will remind, it'll protect our salvation, our thoughts, our joy. And then the last one I'll leave with you, the sword. This is the offense. The Spirit and the Word of God. Here's where I have to emphasize. It's like being born of water without the Spirit, born of Spirit without the water. Can you have the two? Well, the Word says, and, so that means they're connected. The words of God, and lies in them is His Spirit. And that Spirit and His Word is the sword. It's the weapon of offense. And there are times when we need to take an offense against Satan. And we need, when we're tempted, and we need to trust in the truth that God tells us in His Word. Go home and read Matthew chapter 4. Jesus goes out in the wilderness after His baptism and is tempted by Satan. What did He use as His offense? The Word of God. Don't tempt me there, because the Word says this, and that's where truth lies. Won't work with me. Get to know the Word to be able to use it against the evil realms. Because our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare. Let's pray. Father, I want to honor and thank You for being able to remember all the ones that are serving our country and have served our country and have given their life or have passed on before us, who dedicated and made a vow that they would protect our rights as a country. But Father, we have a greater battle that's going on in the whole world. But that battle has already been won by Your Son. And I pray that this church, when they feel like maybe there's some things that's not happening because of they're not battle ready, I pray that we'd put on the full armor of You. And so Jesus, guide us to that. Help us to know what truth truly is. And Father, we give You all the honor and all the glory as we come each week to remember what You've done for us. And it's through Jesus we offer up this prayer.